Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Welcome to ID the Future. I'm Joshua Youngkin for the Discovery Institute. Today, Casey Luskin and I will discuss breaking news in the case of the American Freedom Alliance, or AFA, versus the California Science Center, CSC, not to be confused with the Center for Science and Culture. This is the first free speech lawsuit for the ID movement and its first victory in that field, which comes by way of a settlement. According to the terms of the agreement, the CSC, again, that's the California Science Center, paid AFA $110,000. And by doing so, the CSC avoids public trial on the issues of unconstitutional viewpoint discrimination by big science against ID. And this no doubt comes as a relief to those working in the PR wings of the Darwin lobby. Casey, let's start with some background. Who is AFA? Who is the CSC? And why did the AFA sue the CSC in the first place?
Well, thanks, Josh. AFA is a small nonprofit organization based in Southern California that promotes and defends what you might call Western values and ideas, and it hosts conferences and seminars and events in pursuit of its mission. In October of 2009, AFA contracted with the California Science Center to show a pro-intelligent design film, Darwin's Dilemma, at the Science Center's IMAX Theater. Well, what is the California Science Center? Well, it's basically a popular state-run science and tech museum right in the heart of Exposition Park in downtown LA. And they rent out their IMAX Theater for a variety of purposes, including, by the way, having pro-evolution events. If it contracted to rent CSC's IMAX Theater to show two films, one of them is called We Are Born of the Starves, which is basically a pro-evolution film, and the other is called Darwin's Dilemma, which, as we have talked about many times here on ID the Future, is a pro-intelligent design film that makes a case for ID through the abrupt appearance of animal body plans in the Cameron explosion. And as many of our listeners might remember, this was in 2009, which was the bicentennial anniversary of Darwin's birth and the 150th anniversary of Darwin's Origin of Species. So AFA's timely event was designed to provide viewers with sort of a both sides kind of event, where they were showing two sides of a scientific debate over the origin and development of life, and they were hoping that their audience could basically make up their minds on this important topic, just as Darwin might have wanted them to do. And as soon as the California Science Center learned that AFA was going to show a film that was going to express a pro-ID viewpoint, they abruptly canceled the event.
Why did the CSC abruptly, without warning, cancel the event? I mean, there must have been a compelling reason behind such drastic action.
As many of our listeners know, Josh, Darwin might have said that a fair result can be obtained only by fully stating and balancing the facts and arguments on both sides of each question. But Darwin's latter-day defenders don't always agree with that principle. So what basically happened was that as soon as the decision makers, what you might call the top brass at the California Science Center, learned that the event was going to express a pro-ID viewpoint, they abruptly canceled the event. Now, of course, the California Science Center has its own pretextual reasons that it gave for why it supposedly canceled the event. It claimed that AFA broke the terms of the contract and the rental agreement, and that basically they were justified in canceling the event. But there's a lot of reasons why I think we should be skeptical of those claims, not the least of which was that in the initial cancellation email to AFA, that actually said that they didn't like the fact that somehow this was going to negatively impact the reputation of the California Science Center. So from the very beginning when they canceled the event, we saw that the California Science Center was worried about how it might be perceived for renting its facility to have a pro-ID event and how this might impact its reputation and its relationships in the scientific community. So basically, because of California Science Center's obstinacy and its refusal to reinstate AFA's contract to rent the facility, I think litigation was the only option for AFA to get at the truth of the matter of why they really canceled the event and get any relief from the CSC after AFA had to scramble in a very short amount of time to find another venue for its already in motion event.
So I was actually going to ask you about that. What was the real reason that CSC canceled the event, if not for contract violation? And it sounds like what you're talking about, maybe something called institutional bias. During this litigation, were there any documents that came out to evince this institutional bias?
Documents produced over the course of discovery in the lawsuit showed a lot of evidence of basically what you would call viewpoint discrimination and institutional bias and intolerance towards intelligent design within not just the California Science Center, but also a number of other science entities, such as the Smithsonian Institution, the LA County Museum of Natural History, And a number of Los Angeles area academics and scientists, some of which were affiliated with USC. So yeah, we can definitely get into some of this evidence here, Josh. I think it tells a pretty compelling and interesting story of intolerance towards ID among scientists, especially many scientists in the Los Angeles area. Let me give you a little example here, Josh. The LA County Museum of Natural History is another state-run science museum, which is right there near the California Science Center in Exposition Park, showing this pro-ID event. We'll get into some of what they did. But basically, one evolutionary biologist at the LA County Museum of Natural History made sure that the matter got attention that he thought it deserved. He writes in an email, quote, "I took this issue to Dr. Jane Fasano, president and CEO of the LACMNH, this afternoon, and she was horrified that the California Science Center is allowing this to happen. Her immediate reaction was to ring up the CEO there, Jeff Rudolph, and find out why they are doing this," unquote.
Wow, okay. Horrified. So ID might get some airtime, and horrified is the response. Now, that sounds like a reasoned, proportionate response from the chief decision maker at an institution that ought to embody a calm scientific demeanor. No, not quite. In fact, you get this horrified CEO who has the CEO of the CSC on speed dial just in case ID ever gets a foot in the door. Is that just an outlier? Is this a single point and not indicative of a pattern, would you say? Or was there something else bigger going on here?
No, unfortunately, it's not an outlier, Josh. And keep in mind what's going on here. We just need to remember to keep perspective. It's not like the California Science Center was actually sponsoring this event. And even if they had been sponsoring the event, I still think she shouldn't have had the right to get angry. But all that was happening was that the California Science Center was renting out their theater to a private group to show a pro-ID film. And even that was enough to make a local president of a science museum, quote-unquote, horrified that this was going to happen. So what happened at the LA County Museum of Natural History was that a number of scientists got together, working with some folks at USC, decided to write a letter to the California Science Center, hoping to pressure them to cancel the event. And it's interesting to see what some parts of this letter read. They said, quote, "Both USC and the Natural History Museum of LA County feel strongly that the implied endorsement of this film by the CSC will seriously undermine the credibility and reputation of CSC as a leader in science education in the Los Angeles basin," unquote. And they go on to say, quote, "We are also concerned that some of your current supporters and donors, including the state of California, might not continue to support CSC if it became known that you had knowingly or otherwise eschewed the presentation of solid science and instead offered a venue for spreading the religious propaganda that masquerades under the name intelligent design," unquote. And they go on to conclude, quote, "We urge you to cancel this event," unquote. This is really striking. What they're saying is that they're sort of making these veiled threats that if the California Science Center simply rents out its facility to a private group to show a pro-ID film, then they will lose their funding from the state of California and they will lose all credibility in the scientific community. And this is astounding for a number of reasons. Not only do we see that sort of these scientists at the LA County Museum of Natural History, they're more than happy to actually be a part of those people who would be horrified and disgusted at the California Science Center, but they are actually telling you the way the whole sort of evolutionary community views a science museum allowing the pro-ID voice to be heard. That they're saying that within the evolutionary scientific community, that if you allow the pro-ID voice to be heard, you will be viewed as a pariah and you will lose your funding and your reputation. So this is really sort of proof positive that there is what we might call this institutionalized discrimination. These scientists are saying that if this museum allows ID to have this event, it will ruin their reputation.
That's very interesting. I think the picture you're painting makes it quite clear that the LA area science community outside the CSC was definitely outraged by this. And the only question then was, I suppose, is was the feeling outside the CSC the same as that on the inside? I mean, how did that outside animus make its way on the inside? Or was it already present? How would you answer that question?
Well, I think we'd see a lot of evidence that it already was present on the inside. One of the first hints we got that there was what you might call intolerance towards ID within the California Science Center was some emails from CSC curator Ken Phillips. When he got wind of this event, he actually heard about it from another curator of a local library, the Huntington Library, Dan Lewis, who was warning Phillips that some of his USC colleagues were, quote-unquote, up in arms over AFA's event and issued a dire warning that then prompted Phillips to write his colleagues at the California Science Center saying the following. He says, quote, "I personally have a real problem with anything that elevates the concept of intelligent design to a level that makes it appear as though it should be considered equally alongside Darwinian theory as a possible alternative to natural selection," unquote. So we should keep in mind here what's going on is that it's not so much that he has a problem with intelligent design or he disagrees with it. I mean, he has every right to disagree with it, but he doesn't want ID to even be able to have a voice within the Science Center.
Funny, there's to be no sharing with the stage with Darwin, which of course is incredibly ironic given what Darwin himself has said about sharing the stage and giving equal time to both sides of a question. And if you have the stage to yourself, that's one way to ensure that one idea wins out over another. Now, scientists might not know what counts as impermissible viewpoint discrimination, which is basically what we've been talking about here, but legal professionals should know better, right?
That's right, Josh. I think you might go into viewpoint discrimination law in some more detail for us later on, but you would hope that a local law professor would actually care about freedom of speech and the First Amendment. Well, this is what a USC professor of law, Hillary Shore, said when she found out that the California Science Center was going to be renting out its facility for this event. She said, quote, "I'm less troubled by the freedom of speech issues than why my tax dollars, which support the California Science Center, are being spent on hosting religious propaganda," unquote.
Okay, that's interesting. Professor Shore rightly saw the free speech issue here. She mentioned it in her line there. But she didn't accord it much weight and instead placed the real governmental viewpoint discrimination that we've been talking about here well below some phantom instance of government sponsorship of religion. And then that's, of course, a completely unfounded fear. What we're seeing, I think, emerge is that the social and academic milieu surrounding the cancellation decision here was surely hostile toward ID, and that no doubt played a part in how events unfolded. But, Casey, where is the smoking gun? Who in particular, would you say, is responsible for exerting the pressure necessary to effect the desired cancellation?
These are really good questions, Josh. And I think the smoking gun comes from the Smithsonian Institution, believe it or not. Many of our listeners are aware that the Smithsonian has a long history of sort of intolerance towards intelligent design. Richard Sternberg was basically discriminated against and forced out of being a researcher at the Smithsonian after he allowed and oversaw and edited a pro-ID article that was published in the Smithsonian Journal back in 2004. And many of our listeners, especially those who have seen the movie Expelled, are aware that actually two government investigations, one from the U.S. Office of Special Counsel and another from subcommittee staff of U.S. Congress, determined that Rick Sternberg had faced discrimination and harassment because of his pro-ID views at the Smithsonian. So it comes as little surprise that as soon as the Smithsonian found out that this event was going on, they got involved. Why did they get involved? Well, the California Science Center, it turned out, is an affiliate of the Smithsonian, and it very much values its status as a Smithsonian affiliate. As a matter of fact, if you look on the California Science Center website, it has a whole page devoted to just touting its affiliate status with the Smithsonian Institution. So as soon as the Smithsonian found out that an affiliate was renting out its facility for a pro-ID viewpoint, they got up in arms as well. And this is actually a statement from Linda St. Thomas, who's a Smithsonian spokesperson. She says, quote, "This is one of our fears about affiliates. As you know, we canceled an event about intelligent design creationism at the Museum of Natural History a couple years ago. It's against SI/MNH policy, which is science and not religion. However, I see hundreds of Twitters saying that SI is holding this premiere, even though it is an affiliate in California. Can you tell them to cease and assist?" Unquote.
Wow, that's a strong language. Cease and desist is what you say when you believe you have a strong claim over the conduct of another, such as when someone else is ostensibly walking all over your rights. So SI apparently felt entitled to issue a mandate to CSC.
That's right, Josh, and I don't want to miss something that Linda St. Thomas says. She actually says that intelligent design is, quote-unquote, against SI/MNH policy. So intelligent design apparently is officially against Smithsonian Institution policy on the grounds of what she claims that ID is religion and not science. As we all know, that's just a convenient way of dismissing ID. And by the way, she was actually wrong. The Smithsonian Institution did not cancel an event with intelligent design. They actually allowed the event to go forward, although they did discriminate against ID in a variety of other ways. But the bottom line is that you can see where they want this to go. They want the California Science Center to cancel the event because they think that that's what they did in the past when ID tried to rent out an SI facility.
That's quite interesting. So it sounds like, if I could paraphrase you here, the Smithsonian thought that ID was religion and that it was displeased. And because the Smithsonian was displeased, it conveyed that displeasure to the CSC, who then at some point after affected the cancellation. Is that sort of a fair sequence of events?
That's right. I think that the command to cease and desist actually did do the trick. After a flurry of internal emailing, Smithsonian Institution called the California Science Center basically to alert them of the nature of AFA's event and that it was, in fact, an ID event and that the Smithsonian Institution was displeased with what was going on. Well, that was all that the California Science Center needed to know in order to shortly thereafter issue its cancellation notice to AFA. If the Smithsonian Institution thinks that ID is religion and against official policy and not worthy of open discussion, then basically it wants the CSC to fall in line and have the same kind of a policy. But in light of what we might call the internal bias against ID at the California Science Center, I think that CSC didn't need much of a push to comply, and they were sort of more than happy to fall over like dominoes and cancel AFA's event.
So we've talked just really briefly about Curator Phillips, who's at the CSC, and how he felt sort of personally outraged that that was going on. But was there any other evidence internal to the CSC that indicates this bias against ID, sort of as you suggest?
Yeah, there's plenty of evidence, Josh. As a matter of fact, the vice president of the California Science Center, who was in charge of booking AFA's event, she actually had some of the best evidence, I think, of what you might call institutionalized discrimination against intelligent design at the Science Center. Sign writes in an email that, quote, "the main problem is that it is an anti-Darwin slash creationist group," unquote. Of course, AFA is not a creationist group, but isn't it interesting that that's what she says is the quote-unquote main problem? The main problem is its viewpoint, not some supposed contract violation that was cooked up after the fact. The quote-unquote main problem is that it's an anti-Darwin creationist group. And keep in mind is that she is the one who was in charge of the event. She's the one who issued the cancellation email. She was a very big heavyweight in this whole process. She also said in other quotes, quote, "a science center should not even be asked to partner with any group associated with debating Darwinism. It's not our place." Or, quote, "their topic of Darwinism and the nature of their controversial approach is likely not a good fit to partner with a science center," unquote.
That's a lot of incriminating evidence, Casey. But one thing I don't understand is if folks inside and outside the CSC, if they knew ID was afoot and they don't like it, then why in the world would they agree to the event in the first place?
This is another interesting part of the story, Josh, because what we see is that there are multiple emails and multiple conversations taking place where basically people within the California Science Center and the Smithsonian said that if California Science Center had known that the event was going to express a pro-ID view, then they would not have booked the event. For example, in one email, Josh, we see another California Science Center vice president, Joe DeAmicus, writing that, quote, "this screening was booked through the events department, and they were unaware of the nature of the groups involved. It has come to Jeff's attention. He's working on it," unquote.
Very interesting. And just to be clear, Jeff is the CEO. That's Jeff Rudolph, is the CEO of the CSC, the chief decision maker there.
Now, that email was sent by Joe DeAmicus to Ken Phillips, the curator that we talked about earlier, who was getting pressure from other Los Angeles area science museum curators to do something about the situation, meaning try to pressure them to cease and desist, so to speak. So what happens then is that Ken Phillips forwards this information on to another curator of an LA area science museum, and he again is reiterating that, hey, we didn't know who was booking this event. We didn't know it was a pro-ID event. And he says, quote, "I'll bet my bottom dollar that they had and still have no idea of the connection, the issues, or the problems of making it appear as though intelligent design should be elevated to a level where it deserves to be placed alongside Darwin's theory of natural selection," unquote. And then he goes on to reassure these other scientists in the LA area that, quote, "I've expressed my personal views on the matter to our VP for marketing and all of the curatorial staff here at the Science Center. I'll let you know what happens," unquote. So we know what happened. We know that pretty soon after that, the California Science Center canceled AFA's event.
And so CSC only agreed to the event because they did not know that Darwin's Dilemma was pro-intelligent design. And the rest of Big Science learned of it first, so they clued the CSC in, and then the CSC pulled the rug out from under the AFA. Now, AFA wasn't going to show just the Darwin's Dilemma film. They were going to also show another film, We Are Born of the Stars. Isn't that right, Casey?
Yeah, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, and the We Are Born of the Stars video is basically a pro-evolution film. So I think the moral of the story is this. As long as you're expressing the orthodox pro-Darwin view, you're safe. Otherwise, you better watch out, and they're going to try to suppress the pro-intelligent design viewpoint. And this is why we have to be vigilant, trying to help our allies vindicate their First Amendment rights to have free speech in the public square to talk about intelligent design in the face of these would-be censors. I think that we're getting a really good sense, by the way, from looking at all this evidence, why the California Science Center didn't want this case going to trial. There's a lot of evidence of viewpoint discrimination in this case. There's evidence that implicates a number of scientists in the Los Angeles area having intolerance towards intelligent design and wanting to prevent the intelligent design viewpoint from having free speech to talk about intelligent design. The good news, however, is under the terms of the settlement, AFA is told officially that they have an open door to come back to the California Science Center and have a pro-ID event. And additionally, as we talked about, the California Science Center is paying $110,000 to AFA. So I think we see that when you violate freedom of speech for intelligent design, it's an expensive mistake. $110,000, that's a lot of money. Now, in terms of legal settlements, that's really not a huge amount of money. But frankly, in this case, it was not about the money from the very beginning. If the money's involved, there's one single purpose. It's to show people that it is important to have free speech for intelligent design. And when you are refusing to permit ID proponents to have free speech and equal access to government facilities to express their viewpoint, the law protects that, and that you need to enforce that somehow. And in these cases, there's no other way to enforce it than to show these people that it's an expensive mistake to suppress free speech for intelligent design.
That's great, Casey, and it's a great way to end. Vigilance is the watchword, and as we've seen, it is expensive to suppress the free speech rights of ID proponents. Thanks so much for listening, folks. This has been ID the Future. Till next time.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2010. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.